Amy Lukacik. Yeah. Amy is, she oversees our nursery ministry, and she is involved in contributing and investing in many of your lives and in so many different things. And so this morning, as we have just been talking and dialoguing, what I wanted to do as my sister, and I am her brother in Christ, and this is just a family dialogue, a family conversation. There have been some things that she's been sharing and things that the Holy Spirit has been laying on her heart that I believe that is super timely with where we are in our study. We're looking at the simplicity of the simple church. And we're going through and we're looking at things in Romans chapter 12, and we are identifying some things that we have to fight against, because many of us in our conversations, there's this complexity of our world that's exhausting, that's overwhelming, and it just seems like there's more chaos than ever before. And so as we're talking about the simplicity of the simple life, there's some things that are absolutely imperative as we move forward. Last week, and some of the things that we were talking about, and the scripture in Romans chapter 12, we're looking at verse 3, and we're talking about the need for us to just take this sober, honest, realistic evaluation. We need to take inventory. So as Amy and I have been having dialogue and as we've been talking about things, I just really felt led that we need to just take some time. Oh, yeah. I know that voice. Just take some time and really press in, because I want you to understand that the things that we're going to be talking about this morning, the things that I'm asking her to share, that we just need to be open and honest about, where we are headed as a church family, it is so important for us to press into what we're going to be discussing this morning. So, Amy, let me just ask you, as we've been dialoguing, as we've been talking about, you know, just these three concepts that we're going to keep banging on, joy and freedom and contentment, what does this stir up inside of you? I know that these, you can talk about these are simple things, but as we're talking about it, there's just stuff that keeps coming out of you in our dialogue.
Yeah, I think the big theme that I have been noticing and God's been highlighting to me for months now is authenticity. Mm-hmm. And just coming to Him in a very, like you've said before, in simple prayer, mm-hmm. the simplicity and just coming to the Lord and being authentic with Him, being vulnerable, sharing our weaknesses, and that's confronting it with ourselves too. Mm-hmm. But the freedom that comes from getting alone with the Lord, just like you said, just like Jesus did, getting alone with the Lord in the secret place with Him and just being vulnerable and genuine and raw and authentic with Him and with ourselves, and just surrendering certain things to Him that mm-hmm. we're struggling with or that we're dealing with. It sounds so simple. It sounds like too easy, but there's so much freedom mm-hmm. and joy and contentment yeah. within ourselves that is unlocked just in doing that simple thing.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is, like, it seems like such a simple thing, but, you know, if you've been around us at any period of time, we're beating the same drum all the time. We're talking about the need to press in prayer and the need to open up the scriptures. And one of the reasons that we talk about that all the time is those two aspects are some of the key things to where that we experience spiritual vitality, where we experience spiritual health, where we experience spiritual transformation. And so those simple things, do you kind of feel like that we can approach those things without being authentic and honest? Is that kind of what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
No. I think if we want to just come to church and check the box and be a good person and do good things, those are all great. But there's still so much going on inside of us that if we can't share our hearts with the Lord, how are we going to share our hearts with other people?
Yep.
And that's really where the work of the Holy Spirit is, is when we are in community with other believers that are being authentic. They're pursuing their prayer life, their time in the Word with God. And then they come together. There's so much work that the Holy Spirit can do and bring us so much freedom and even freedom for others while we're doing that. And that really is healthy, a healthy body.
Absolutely. So if you hear her heart, we have to stop for just a minute. And we have to address a lot of our religion and a lot of our backgrounds, a lot of our labels. When I am having dialogue with some of you and when we're having dialogue, one of the things that we have to address, and we just have to be honest about it, is that most of us have not been a part of a church family where it was expected or legal to express authenticity. There was, for a lot of us, we're coming out of situations and it fits really naturally into most of our natural human sinful DNA that we set up these rules and these regulations and these boxes and all these different things. And so being authentic, it may be a conversation, but it's not really part of the expectation. And so what we want you to understand is that within this church family, what we are pressing into and what we're trying to experience and what we're trying to be, this is a simple concept, but it is so foreign to most of us in a religious environment, in a church environment, because we are genuinely striving to be a place of authenticity. Many of you carry burdens. And you carry issues, you carry things inside of you. And part of the weightiness of that is you've got this battle going on inside between you and God. Like somehow you can hide these things from him. And then obviously for a lot of us, as long as we come in and we smile and we serve and we do, there's really not been a lot of situations where people around us expect spiritual health and vitality. And so one of the things that the reason we're taking some time to have this open dialogue is because we want to reinforce in this format and in this manner that what we are pursuing in the scriptures and what we are pursuing and trying to practice together, we cannot experience the move of the Holy Spirit without a level of genuine authenticity.
And this is not something that Mountain View is newly pressing into.
No, ma'am. No.
Because when I first started coming, I think it's been over 3 years. I lost count. I had told Pastor Tim and Pastor Chris my story, my journey, my church background. And I told them, this is what I do. I love to serve. I love to do all these things.
And you had been serving faithfully.
And I had been serving very faithfully. I was in a very serve-heavy church where you work your way up the serve ladder. So coming here was like a respite because I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a break from serving. I'm just going to get filled. And then what I thought was, then I'm going to jump back into serving because that's what you do when you go to church. That's what I had learned. That's part of serving God at church. And so, you know, I'm here for a while. They know I want to serve, but I'm not. So I'm getting a little frustrated because they're like, they're asking for people to serve. And I'm like, hello, I told you I'm right here. And, Pastor Tim came to me during worship one day and you just said that our desire, like the church's, like the church leadership, everyone's desire for me is John 15, the vine. He is the vine. And that was so healing to me that a shepherd would care about my spiritual health more than what I could do for the church. Because now that I did receive that and I did press into that and really abiding in him and spending more time in the secret place and in the word, I've realized, like, yes, I'm serving, you know, nursery, check-in, whatever. But what's come more so out of that is I've seen, I really get the whole picture of I'm not just serving my church. I'm serving the Lord at work.
Yes.
How I work in my family, how I serve my husband, my kids, in the body of Christ, in the big C church.
Absolutely. And so there's this new perspective that you've experienced when you're surrounded by people that are genuinely concerned about your spiritual health and your spiritual vitality. And so part of what we keep talking about, and I'm going to say it again this morning, is that we are trying to break free from that religious bondage, the checking the boxes. And this is all about what we are pursuing. For some of you, it may be revolutionary and strange and weird, and it may be uncomfortable. Well, we understand that because we're not just trying to ask you to be a part of creating something that's a brand here. What we're asking you to be a part of is a relationship, first and foremost, with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, for you to be in relationship with them and for you to experience healing, for you to experience forgiveness, for you to experience power, for you to experience all these things that don't come from this big gathering, but that come from this personal faith walk, this personal I'm carving out time. Now we want to help each other. We want to stand next to each other. We want to build each other up. But make no mistake, what we are pursuing together cannot and will not happen if there's not individual health, individual spiritual vitality that then joins together and creates a movement, a family, a flock, or a body to where that there is corporate health. And can I tell you something? That takes time. That's why for some of you, just like she expressed frustration, what I love when Amy talks with Lori and I, and she can just look at me and just laugh, and she can say, "You frustrate me." And I can be like, "That's awesome. Like, I'm doing my job." Because I'm trying, some of you stop nodding right now. This is not a bobblehead time, okay? But it's creating that agitation is creating spiritual health and vitality, because it's not about, none of us have all the answers here. But as we individually dig in and seek, and we ask him to help our unbelief, and as we learn how to pray, say, "Pastor Tim, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to read the Bible." Well, as you begin to take baby steps to learn how to do that, your faith is activated. There's a cleansing. There's a beautification process that takes place. So, Amy, I got to ask you. A lot of people may not know your story. And one of the things that we have to be careful to assume is that we look at somebody where they are in their outward, and we assume certain things about them. So I want you to think about this while I mention a couple other things. But I want to know, but I need for you to share with them why this is such an important component of spiritual vitality. And I just want to say to some of you, our goal is to be a New Testament focused church. I know that a lot of you have trust issues. I get that. I've got trust issues I'm still working through. I know that some of you have tried to be authentic with the wrong person at the wrong time. And that can go very badly in a church. I understand that. But what we're trying to be is a body that we can function with a level of authenticity so that we can talk openly about our weaknesses. We can talk openly about our struggles. We can talk openly about those things that we're in bondage to, not to just blah, 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 but to be able to confess those things to one another. So as James said, we can walk in freedom and healing, and we can experience the power of the Spirit of God. And I know that for some of you, that's terrifying. I know it takes time. Got somebody in my life right now that opened up to me 8 years ago. And I've waited for 8 years praying for this person because they don't trust. And within the last 2 months, they've said to me, I trust you. I need to figure out how to live in freedom. I'm sick of where I've been. How do I let God work in my life? There's no program for this process. But it's a process of relationship. And it's a process of faith. And it's a very personal process. So why is what we're talking about important to you? Why has the Holy Spirit just been banging on you about this whole issue of authenticity?
Yeah, so I think in one of the verses that Pastor Tim is going to read soon, I think it's in Romans 12, verse 3, but it talks about having, what does it say, like sober judgment of ourselves. We have to look at ourselves authentically. And so it comes from a place of, and if you've never been here, then you won't know what I'm talking about. It came from a place of necessity. I was tired of living the life I was living. And so it's so ironic, but it is the beautiful, the beauty of God's redemption that I'm even talking about authenticity, because I had a huge problem the majority of my life with lying. That's the opposite of authenticity. that's the opposite of sharing your weaknesses. I just had so much anxiety and depression growing up from a very small child that I didn't know anxiety is what I had. I had no coping skills, so I just lied. You know, people pleasing and trying to be perfect and lies upon lies and leads into just other things as you grow into your late teens, early 20s, and you have access to other things that might help you fix that. And so you seek after ways to just escape yourself. But nothing else actually gave me freedom. And when I just surrendered to the Lord, which he had to come to me, he had to meet me where I was at.
And he does it very well, doesn't he?
Yes. Yes. And in a very difficult point in my life, where I was very vulnerable. I was in a very vulnerable mindset. And he just met me there. And so I just said, well, you obviously, it was just amazing how he did it. I'm like, you obviously know all of me. And I'm messed up. I am ugly. I am the worst. I can't stop lying. I can't stop doing this, doing that. And he saved me. Mm-hmm. And he saved me from myself. It wasn't anybody else. He saved me from myself. And so for me, it was, I say it's out of necessity because I just so desperately wanted to be made new. And that's what Christ does. And so in my heart and my logical thinking was, you already know all of me, all of it. And you still met me there to save me, mm-hmm. to rescue me. So why would I not continue to come to you again and again and again with all of my other weaknesses? Let's just peel back more layers of freedom. Like, and it's still, and there's, you never arrive. I'm still mm-hmm. working on yeah. things. So you always are.
Absolutely.
But he already knows. He already knows us, and he chooses to save us. And our mess, we can't hide anything from him. We can try to hide things from ourselves. We definitely do a good job of hiding things from other people.
Absolutely.
But just exposing our weaknesses, bringing it out into the light. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be with other people yet.
Yeah.
But just that confronting yourself, having yeah. that sober judgment of yourself to look in the mirror and then take it to God.
Yep.
Because he created us.
Yeah.
He knows how to work in us. Once we release it to him and we're vulnerable with him, that allows Holy Spirit to do the work in us.
Yeah.
It's a slow change on the inside.
Absolutely.
And so when it is about finding, I think once you go on that journey and you keep going to that secret place with him over and over and over, God does put people in your life that you realize you can trust, godly, wise counsel that you can trust. And it's, I just have so many stories of how I go to have a conversation with a friend and they'll bring something up. And I have to call her out, Julia Estes, my sweet, sweet friend. this happens to us very often.
Yeah.
Like, and this is part of the what the Lord's been doing to me with this message of like sharing weakness and authenticity. We were just sitting on her porch one day and she just started sharing with me this aspect of her life that she could not get freedom from for years. And last year, Holy Spirit just delivered her from it. And she's been walking in freedom. And afterwards she said, I have no idea why I just shared all that with you. Not even kidding. It's literally the exact same stronghold that I have been struggling with for years.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I know why you just said all that to me, because I needed to hear your victory so that I can know that I can have freedom in that too.
Absolutely.
And now we're just even closer as sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just amazing how he works.
So, yeah. So there's somebody here today. Who better qualified to talk about authenticity? And somebody that knows what misrepresentation feels like and looks like. Someone who's lived the life of cover-up and deceit and lies. You understand? This is what church is supposed to be about. Learning to experience God in such a way to where that we make space for him to transform us, heal us, and as she said, to shine the light of hope for other people who feel hopeless. As you were listening to Julia, you got that twinge inside like, oh my word, there's hope. Isn't the church supposed to be about bringing hope in the middle of hopelessness? Bringing just beautiful things to what's going on. So I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. We're going to read some verses together, and this is so important. What has just been on Amy's heart is resounding across this church family. We're only using this dialogue to just emphasize what the Holy Spirit is doing in this body. And to be honest with you, I believe it's happening around this region, that the Holy Spirit is stirring things up. Some of you right now, your heart is palpating, you're uncomfortable. It's the Holy Spirit stirring. We're not that good. This is the Spirit of the living God that's trying to draw people to himself. And as we're looking at the simplicity of the simple life, Romans chapter 12 is where we're going on, and we're just going to throw this out because this is where we're heading. And I'm just telling you right now, we cannot experience the great things of God if we don't press into authenticity. Before we read Romans chapter 12, I just got to tell you this. Some of you love Psalm 139. Why do you love Psalm 139? Because David says, search me, O God. You help me with me because I don't know how to be authentic. I need your help to reveal to me who I really am and what's going on. You go to Hebrews chapter 4, and a lot of you memorize the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. And yes, all that is true. But if you look at the context of what he's saying, is it's for spiritual operation and surgical removal, surgical understanding, so that we can get these things revealed and taken out of us. And the the picture in those verses is used of nakedness. That's a vulnerable, authentic posture. And with that in mind, Romans chapter 12, we're going to read in the NLT, verses 1 through 3, like we did. And so, dear brothers and sisters, as brothers and sisters were saying to you, dear brothers and sisters, we plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let that be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You getting a taste of this?
Yes.
Okay, does it feel good?
Yes.
Okay. Well, she just testified about what we're getting ready to read. I'm telling you right now, it's not because of any theological training. It's because of the path that I've been walking. Go ahead, you're about to say something.
Does it feel good? I say yes, but it does not feel good.
Well, it's a little bit uncomfortable.
Doesn't feel good at first.
Yeah.
Is it rewarding? Is it worth it? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what my yes was for.
I get it. What does it say? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's why you're sitting up here this morning having a dialogue. God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, Paul says, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. So we're talking about this whole concept of authenticity. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Verse 4, let's keep reading. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. He's using a complex illustration of something simple. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. I just want you to consider, and we're going to be talking about this in depth. I want you to just consider the interconnectivity of the human body. I genuinely don't know how somebody can study anatomy and not see phenomenal design. Your spine alone, there's no way that's a cosmic boo-boo. The interconnectivity of the human body. He's using this as an illustration. And I want to ask you this morning, and we're talking about this whole concept of authenticity. What's your role? What part are you? Because what we're trying to do, and we're going to talk about it more in depth, but we're trying to push back against some of these models, some of these presentations that literally we believed, all of us have believed for a long time, and they're lies. They're lies from the evil one to keep us from being healthy and vibrant and for us to live in authenticity, because most of us believe that there's some kind of upper echelon of body parts. Are you tracking with me? So it's those visible, like, oh no. And so then what we do is a lot of us Like, we're going to read this, but we've never been a part of a body to where that we are committed to. We cannot be healthy and interconnected if each part's not healthy. Do you hear that? That was an amen. Did you hear that? It's all in how you interpret that. That was a hallelujah amen for me, for us. We're asking you to authentically evaluate. We're going to be moving forward. And some of you have been a part of church traditions where spiritual gifts, the way you're wired, the way that God has blessed you, you're expecting somebody else to reveal that to you. It's not our job. Our job is to get you to press into spiritual health and vitality and the simple things. And when you press into that, learning how to talk to God, learning how to ask for his help, will you help me be authentic? Have you prayed that at all in your life?
Yes.
It was a stupid question, right? Okay, but there's no stupid question, so it wasn't stupid.
That's kind of what I'm here talking about.
Yeah. But think about it. Like, we're supposed to press in. Open up. The reason you know why I open up the scriptures? I need him to reveal to me his plan versus how I can mess things up. So I'm pressing into him. And in the middle of that, I'm experiencing spiritual health and vitality. And then it makes it easier for me to understand why it's so important for us to be healthy and for us to be spiritually growing and learning what spiritual health is, because we can't experience that corporately if we're not experiencing that individually. Do you agree with that?
Yes. And we can't. Our identity only comes from Christ.
Say that again.
Our identity only comes from Christ. So our identity is not coming from our gift, how we're using our gift, what we're doing, or the where we're using it. That's not our identity. First has to come from who God has made us to be.
Yes.
And once we know that, and we're just living that out, your gifts will naturally flow from you.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, she knows.
She's made hard eye contact
learned from the
with
best.
Somebody. No, that's good. That's good. I'm proud of you. Pound it, girl. So think about what she just said. Last week we talked about a lot of us get our identity in what we do. We're trying to press against human doing versus human being. We've got to learn to be with him. Oh, that was powerful. Think about it. We are trying to press into a situation and press into something that for many of us is very uncomfortable and has not been part of our church life together. So our heartbeat this morning is for you to, with God, learn what it means to walk in authentic, honest, truthful, this is who I am. This is what God is doing in me, and to bring all of our stuff before him, because we talked about this before. How many of us spend all this time trying to hide from God when he already knows? So we're trying to, the whole issue with authenticity isn't about us with God. It's really more about us with ourselves. Trying to hide, trying to cover up, trying to be. And so then when we start pressing into this gift, and I'm going to throw this out for some of you that you've been around for a while. Is this, and in Corinthians, are these gifts all the list? Is this an exhaustive list? Or is this a sampling? Because some of you, just what I just asked you might scare you to death, because you look at this, some of you are like me, you've been trying to fit yourself in to these 8 or 12 listed gifts for most of your life and you've been frustrated instead of being in relationship with Father God through Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what it is that you're supposed to do to add health and add value to the body. What's your heart? Go ahead.
It sounds complicated. Like the Bible seems very complicated. Mm-hmm. And it is.
It is.
It is.
It's overwhelming.
But the gospel is very simple.
Yep.
And the truth is that over and over we see God, the Father's heart, his desire is just to be in authentic relationship with the people he created. That's it.
No, absolutely.
Why else would he literally walk in the garden with the first human beings he made?
Yeah.
Why would you go for a walk with your wife to be in relationship, to get to know them? Well, that didn't work out very well for him. So then he came to be born as one of us so he could walk with us.
Yeah.
So he could show us his ways so that we could get to know him.
Yeah.
On an authentic level. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus says, he tells his disciples when they're rightfully so very upset that he's leaving, after he died on the cross and then he was risen, and they're like, oh great, you're back forever. You're going to walk with us forever. He says, no, I'm leaving to be with the Father in heaven. Understandably so, they're very heartbroken. But Jesus says, it's actually going to be better for you that I leave.
Yep.
How is that even possible? Because then God, as the third part of the Trinity, as Holy Spirit, is now within us.
Yes.
Which that's as close as you can get.
Yeah, you can't get
I mean, you can walk with somebody, but you can't be in them. Uh-huh. You know, that is... So his whole desire, the whole gospel, you can just see it everywhere.
Yep.
Is God's desire just that heart relationship with us?
Yep.
Just for us to come to him authentically and for us to get to know him for who he really is and to know his compassion and love for us, and so that we can live from that place. And also, if you read the Bible, I love David because David was a very messed up sinner. He was just like us.
Mm-hmm.
But the only person in the whole Bible that God says is a man after God's own heart was David, a sinner. Yes, he was a king, but kings also sin. Everyone does. But David, when you read in Psalms, you just hear his heart is authentic with the Lord.
Yep.
You can read one psalm where he is praising God and he is the king of creation and everything praises him. And then you get a couple chapters later and he's like, I'm on my deathbed. My enemies hate me. Where are you?
Mm-hmm.
That's me. Like I'm like David.
Mm-hmm.
Like your secret place doesn't have to be pretty prayers of saying scripture back to him. He wants our hearts. Why else would he say, and if you get offended by some of the Psalms, like, oh, how could he say that to the Lord? Well, God says that was a man after his own heart, probably because he was bringing that to the Lord. Yeah. He wasn't going off to a friend complaining, I'm going to complain about my life and this is horrible and my enemies are still after me. He's taking it to the Lord. I call it a holy hissy fit.
Okay.
I can throw a hissy fit.
Okay.
But if I'm throwing a hissy fit to the Lord first, and I'm doing it in a way that I'm not cursing the Lord out of reverence and honor, because I know that his ways are higher than my ways, his thoughts are bigger than my thoughts. I respect him and I honor him, but I can't see from his point of view when I'm very frustrated and angry.
But you can dump all that stuff in front of him.
And I can dump it, and then I can say, Lord, please just fill me.
So in this authenticity, we don't have to be perfect.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's encouraging. Some of you need to hear that. If that's the only thing you hear, Matt, you got it. Stop pursuing perfection. Just press into authenticity. The power of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was not to create another religious system. It was to bring us back to relationship with him. He already knows us. So why don't we just work on being more authentic within ourselves, with ourselves? Learn how to talk about those things with him. And then in due time, be able to bless other people with that level of authenticity. Because what is one of the number one things that people say about the average church? Go ahead. You can say it. We hear it. You hear it on the streets all the time. Bunch of hypocrites. And that's a fair assessment of a lot of us, because within the church, we haven't made authenticity part of who we should be. And so that's why we're pressing in, especially with what we're studying and where we've been as a church family. We've got to learn to be authentic. You matter. Most of you don't believe that. But we're trying to show you and live out that you matter. You matter to God and you matter to us. And what we are pressing into is seeing our value in the body. So as we sing together today and as we wrap things up, our desire is that you would genuinely lay yourself before God, present yourself to him. If you've never believed in Jesus as the Son of the living God, you guys can go ahead and come on up. That's cool. Go ahead and make that bold move of saying, I just believe. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to have all the answers. You just say, Jesus, I believe it, and I need your help. As Amy said, I just need you. I need you to help me.
I just told him, I said, I'll try following you.
How's that working out? Yeah.
Well, that's a start.
Yeah, 14 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. See the transformation? Baby steps of faith. And let's just follow him, learn to follow him, and learn to encourage others as we follow him together. Let's stand and let's open our hearts up to worship this morning.